all the songs and that. Good to see you again, Brother Hunter. Thank God for Jesus, who died for us on the cross. He saw us sitting here. He knew we'd come to worship tonight. He had all fixed up. He said, boy, he couldn't do that. Oh, yeah, he's God. He's powerful. We're going to worship him tonight. And Brother Dean McNeese is going to come preach to us. So thankful again to have him from Ringo, Georgia. Pray for him. We know he's going to be obedient to the Lord and do what God bids him to do. We're thankful for you, my brother.
Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 will be our text tonight for the preaching of the Word of God. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Amen. That's pretty weak for some blood-washed, born-again, heaven-bound, hell-proof people, so let's try it again. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Waldrop. I don't know where you'll go anywhere and find a sweeter, kinder spirit than in this pastor and in this church. And I thank God for that. I bless his name for it. Amen. I wish we'd have had a tall, skinny, red-headed feller come by and sing tonight. You ought to think about being tall, red-headed, and skinny. It would look good on you, son. You ought to think about getting you a scruffy little red beard, too. Hallelujah. And if Hunter, you and Brother Gunn get you some red shoes like RJ, there's no telling where you could go, where you boys could go. Because them shoes were made for walking right there. And several other things. I don't know what to... Hallelujah. I'm a little worried about him being my friend now. I need to branch out and have more than one friend. Because he wore a red belt with his red shoes. Todd, you're so boring. You just sit there, boring, brown... Brown, tan, brown. That's the man over there. Revelation chapter 1. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the local church. Thank you for the under shepherd. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the breath from heaven. Lord, we're looking for that revival, God, to fall on us. God, be a summer to remember in the record books of heaven. We ask you for it. Prepare us for it. Open our mouths wide that you may fill it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. All the Lord's people said, amen. Before I preach on a Wednesday night, we shared just 30 seconds, a burden for our ministry. I only mention these needs when the Lord leads me, Pastor. I'm making a brief missions trip out west, flying out Monday morning to a blessed little church out there doing a great work. Been out there 13 years, and they're not able to afford. They went several years, and we had a great summer meeting, and they lost about three key families, not due to trouble, but due to moving and due to sickness, and the church lost a good bit of their money. They started this church 13 years ago, been faithful. Well, they're still going on and having the meeting, but without singers and without preachers. This pastor just don't have any quit in him, and he said, we're just going to do it. It'd be just us. And so the Lord burdened me heavily this year. For 2 years now, they've not been able to bring anybody out for the meeting. God touched my heart and told me I could raise the money, foot the bill myself. And so I've surprised him, and I got two other pastors going with. There's three of us, and both them other men can preach. And there's three of us going out there, flying out Monday. I shared the burden, just a couple of men that were with me at the time, a pastor from Lenore, North Carolina, a pastor from Alabama, and God provided the money for the ticket, and I need about $750 to finish what I need to go out there, motels and the rental car and the expenses. Now, I don't say that for you or the church to do anything, preacher, but if individuals, if God nudge your heart to help us, then I'd thank God for it. We called that pastor and told him we was coming, and hallelujah. I wish you could have heard how it impacted them when they heard trumpets blowing and horse hooves are stomping, and they knew that reinforcements were on the way. I'm about to run just thinking about it. And so that's how I've always done our ministry. We share the needs with the church. I don't know how to sell anything. I don't know how to promote anything. But I do know how to ask for help. And it's not for me. It's for the gospel. And I don't have any shame in that. And you be sensitive and obey the Lord in this matter. And if you have a red belt, a red pair of shoes, you want to donate to the cause, you know we're open for anything. I'm in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. I'm having too many funny thoughts up here looking at these guys. Revelation 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Amen. One of you young men want to bring me a cup of cold water? That'd be a blessing. God may give you red shoes and a red belt if you do something like that for me. I was thinking, write these three things down. The Lord's directed my heart to preach out of verse 5 this evening. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." In the little epistles of 1 John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And by the way, you see the Bible ending here, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. As you see these things wrapping up, they also closing out time. Aren't you glad we got a Bible that starts at the beginning of time and takes us to the end of time? I'm going to say that again. Y'all got to act a little more saved than that. I said, aren't you glad you got a Bible that walks you from the beginning of time to the end of time? Thank you, sir. Look over at them red shoes, sir. God will give you something like it if you pray real hard. You also have boring brown shoes on. Is that your cousin, Todd, or something? Thank you, sir. I think he's mad at me. He's leaving. It does happen from time to time. I'm glad I got a Bible that starts me in the beginning of time and moves me to the end of time. The old preacher said, if the devil could get Genesis off the front of your Bible and Revelation off the end of it, he'd be glad for you to have the other 64 books. Because Genesis tells us where we came from, Revelation tells us where we're going. And if you got a man who knows where he came from and know where he's going, he can handle everything in the middle. Amen. Thank God I'm glad I got a Bible that told me where I came from. Didn't come from an amoeba. Didn't come from a big bang. Didn't come crawling out of some green drop of water from Mars. There ain't no little green bug-eyed, big-headed alien. I've seen one at the mall, but I ain't seen none on Mars. Amen. Thank God I'm glad I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, and I got 64 books to help me deal with whatever's in the middle. Glory to God. He wouldn't mind you having your Bible if he could get Genesis off the front and if he could get Revelation off the end. And right there, as this book wraps up, and that is what's wrong with our generation. They do not know what they are. They do not know who they are. They do not know where they are. They live in a world that has no absolutes. I'm glad I got a Bible that's got the answers, the Word of God. Now, 1 John tells us about the Antichrist. Jude tells us about the apostasy. Revelation tells us about the apocalypse. And so that's some pretty heavy duty things right there. 1 John tells us about the Antichrist. Jude tells us about the apostasy. Revelation tells us about the ending of the world as we know it, the apocalypse. Well, that would be a pretty grim and a pretty gloomy thing if it wasn't for the fact that we have Jesus. I'm going to run that by you again, give you a chance to act like you've actually been saved. It'd be a tough thing if it wasn't for the fact that we've got the Lord Jesus. Thank God we have Him. And right here, I want to look at, I don't have a title. If you think of one while I'm preaching, shout it out. And if it's a good one, we'll adopt it. If it's not, you're going to feel goofy. So in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ. I don't have a title because I just want to talk about Jesus and how he can take us through the end time. Amen. Glory to God. I was wanting to preach it last night, but the Lord had us talking about revival. And you better believe I'm still praying for this revival. Brother, listen, I believe God's leaning in heavy. I believe if he has his way, he'll press in and press through this thing. And honey, we'll have a meeting all summer long. And God can do what only God can do. And I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. You say it don't look like anything's happening. That don't matter to me or to God. Amen. Most of what you see is not real. What God's a-doing is what, honey, you ain't going to see what he's a-doing. Christians live by faith, not by sight. Amen. I want to talk about the Son of God, our blessed Savior. Love that song the brother sang. And just bragged on the Lord a little while. My devotions, I think, Monday morning. Reading behind William Gurnall from the 1500s. The Christian in Complete Armor. Probably the best book in my library. If I was on a desert island, amen, I'd want some coconut juice, some red shoes, and William Gurnall. The Christian in Complete Armor. Best book in my library, hands down. Of course, outside the Word of God. That Word of God's a book above all other books. Amen. And Gurnall said that there's only two things that you have to run to, oh sinner, who is running in despair and distress because of his sin. You can run to the name of God, and you can run to the promises of the gospel. Well, that didn't heft you near as much as I thought it would. Let's try it again. I'm glad you can run into the name of God, the names of God, and the promises of the gospel. Oh, and I appreciated that song right there. Now, here's Jesus Christ in verse 5. How are you going to make it through these hours of the Antichrist? And you can feel that. You can feel that dread evil breathing in hot and heavy in these hours, the Antichrist. You better believe you can feel that breath, the breath of Satan. I'm sorry to tell you, there's a lot more the breath of Satan in our churches than there is the breath of God. There's far, and I ain't picking on y'all, I'm talking about across the country. You can feel the breath of Satan in churches more than you can feel the breath of God. What are we going to do in this hour with the Antichrist? And then what are we going to do with the apostasy? There in the book of Jude. And that great falling away from truth and forsaking of God and his word and the church and the men of God. The apostasy. And it affects all of us all around. The great falling away. And what are you going to do? There in the book of Revelation, when, brethren, the stars begin to fall from heaven and the bottomless pit opens up and the dread monsters of hell start coming forth. I mean, brother, you see the things in the Laodicean church age where people are having church with Jesus on the outside. What are we going to do in an hour of the Antichrist, the apostasy, and the apocalypse? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hang on to the one who's hanging on to me. I'm going to keep my faith in the one who gave me faith. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Now let's underline these phrases and see if God will help us. I'm going to try to preach tonight just for about 30 minutes. Just to see if I can. It'll be like a laboratory experiment. Amen. Preach long every night. I'm going to see if I can give you this in brevity. And it may not happen. I'm in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. I want to underscore these phrases. And the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. And then we're going to look at that him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So number one, I want to say that Jesus, he's a handling all of my God business. All of my business with God. Honey, I'm glad to report that I've got a mediator between God and myself, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be honest with you. I fear God much more than I fear Satan. I fear God much more than I fear death. I fear God much more than I fear any fiery dart the adversary can hurl at me. I fear God more than I fear man. I fear God more than I fear death and hell and the grave. I fear God. But I got good news for you. I have been reconciled to God. He is not my enemy, and I am not his enemy. I've had a faithful witness between the two of us. Somebody out there help me preach a little bit. If I got to preach to white people the rest of my life, at least y'all can't act like it a little bit. Help me now. Amen. I'll find me a soul choir somewhere in Asheville and bring them in here. If you don't help me. Thank God I'm glad there's a faithful witness. Now, what is that witness? I'll tell you, Jesus is that great representative speaking on our behalf. He came to earth and represented God to men. And then he went back to heaven and represented man to God. He came to this planet and he showed man what God was and who God was. And then he went back to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he pled our case and he pled our cause. And he represented man in his infirmity and in his iniquity. I'm glad that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm glad that God became flesh. The Word became flesh. I'm glad that God left heaven and took on a man's body. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Thank God, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm glad I know who God is. I'm glad I've met him. I'm glad I've seen him. That God the Father was in Christ. God the Holy Spirit was in Christ. Christ was God the Father. And in the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. They're three and yet they're one. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Thank God. I'm going to preach to y'all. Quit acting like a bunch of old white people. Can I hear you now? Brother, listen. And there's Mary held that little baby and said, Emmanuel, God with us. I know who God is. I know what he looks like. I know how he acts. I know his heart. I know know is mine because we met God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Came to earth 2,000 years ago, and when I could not become what he was, he became what I was. Thank God I couldn't become the son, a son of God, so he became a son of man. Thank God, as the son of man, he crawled upon Calvary's cross and became the sin of man. Thank God he went to the lowest hell, scooped my soul out of hell, and brought me back into a redeemed relationship with my heavenly Father. Y'all got to help me better than that. I refuse to work by myself. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody on here ought to act like they know him. Act like you love him. He inhabits the praises of his people. I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you, you ought to thank him. You ought to praise him because he's worthy, because he's wonderful. Amen. He came to earth and pled God's case before man. And then he went back to heaven, and he stands there, my intercessor, my mediator, and he represents me to God. He's a handling all of my God business. Woo! He's took care of the sin that separated me and God. He hears my supplications and prayers and presents them to the Father. He holds me in his arms, and he holds me in his person, and that blood speaks for me, and that broken body lies there and gives a silent witness on my behalf. He's handling all my God business. He hung between two worlds. He left his world and came to our world so we could leave our world and go to his world. He hung between two worlds. Put a hand in either one. Job said in chapter 9, verse 14. You front row men, find that verse. Make sure I got it right. Job 9. It may be verse 14. It may be verse 33. Get ready up there, technology men. For there is no daysman betwixt us. Job, the most ancient literature, even in secular literature, there's no older manuscript than Job. It's the most ancient. And listen, man wasn't some caveman, Neanderthal, dragging his knuckles, dragging a stick in ancient times. Original man was more intelligent and more developed than any man you know. Adam had such a mind of God, he gave all the animals their scientific names. Job understood, brother, Job understood the operations of God in both worlds. What is it, Job 9? Oh, he said, I wish that God were a man. He said, if he were a man, I'd plead my cause before him. I'd present my arguments to him. What verse is it? It says, but there's no daysman betwixt us. I'm going to fire you boys on the front row. Verse 33, took one little old lady, outdid all you preacher boys on the front. Even my friend, them red shoes, I thought you'd move a little faster than that. Job 9, verse 33, put it up there. Smarter than the rest of us fellers. Them guys are smart up there. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that he might lay his hand upon us both. Brother Jason, come here. And I ain't picked on you all week. Well, I have. Come here, Brother Hunter. You ought to think about being tall, skinny, and redheaded. It'd look good on you. You don't worry about being skinny, and you just be redheaded. In ancient times, ancient customs and cultures, in those Bible days, who is that daysman? It was an arbitrator. It was a negotiator. It would be the attorney in these days that go back and forth between the two rooms. And when two parties are at odds, when there's a great enmity, when there was a great conflict, They'd go down to the gate of the city before the elders. And that daysman was the go-between. And he would reconcile and mediate. And they had resolved this matter with blood and become blood brothers. And that's before you had to worry about AIDS and other things. They'd take and they'd be reconciled. That daysman would take and make a little surgical cut in that palm and in that palm. And these men would meet down there in the gate with their conflict, with whatever it was that had them at odds and that enmity. And that daysman would bring them together in reconciliation. And they'd mingle that blood. And they'd go into a covenant of reconciliation. And that daysman would reconcile them. And they'd mix that blood. And that would make them blood brothers. Now, I used to have an apple tree gang when I was 12. We had an apple tree in the backyard there in Missouri where Dad pastored. And we had some blood brothers in there, little pocket knives, and we was blood brothers. You better not mix blood with nobody today. they liable to have amnesia and you'd forget why you did it. But them men would then say to each other, "I forgive you. We're reconciled." And they'd swear to each other, "My family is your family. My debt is your debt. My friends are your friends. My children are your children. My enemies, your enemies are my enemies. Your debt is my debt. And you can count on me." And they'd put them two hands together. That's what the daysman did. Thank you. All redheaded men, now leave the sermon, please. On Calvary, there were two hands. I want to ask y'all something. Was Jesus God? Yes, he was. He was 100% God. He was all of God. He was God in the flesh. He was all of God in the flesh. He was 100% God as if he were nothing but God. I want to ask you another question. Was Jesus a man? Was he human? Yes, he was 100% man as if he were nothing but man. He was 100% human. He's the only 200% creature being you've ever known. Were there two hands at Calvary? Yes, there was. And there were nail wounds and openings and blood in both of them hands. And there were two hands at Calvary. And at Calvary, the hand of man and the hand of God all in one body. And with one hand, he pulled the Father out of heaven. And the other hand, he pulled me and you out of hell. And brother, in one body on the cross, he slain sin and Satan and every enemy we ever had. And Ephesians 2 said we're reconciled unto God by one body on the cross. And he broke down the middle wall of partition that was between us, thank God. And what Job longed for, what the earliest men longed for. Oh, if God were, woo! If God were a man, I could touch him, I could talk to him, I could approach him, I could come to him. But there is no man betwixt us. There's no dazed man betwixt us. Thank God when Jesus came, there was a man between us and God, but God was in that man. That man was God. He did better than sin a man. He became a man. Amen. Took on flesh. And I'm telling you, he's handling all of my business between me and God. You said, "Boy, you must be a good feller. The Lord do that for you. Boy, you must be worthy and better than most other people for Jesus to do that for." No, when he found me, I was polluting a pile of dung. I was on the dung heap, and I was worse than the dung heap. Amen. My corruption and defilement and pollution was worse than the dung. The dung heap looked honorable compared to what I was. That's where he found me. And because he loved me by sheer grace, by pure grace, he reached down and scooped me out. He carried my sins to a land not inhabited, never to be seen again. He carried my soul. When I came to him, he carried me to the Father and made me accepted in the Beloved. There, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He's handling all my God business. Give me Revelation 1:5 back up there. He's the faithful witness. I'm glad he never slumbers, never sleeps. I'm trying to leave that first point. I don't know how my 30-minute promise is working out. Oh, my. He's handling all my business between me and God. I can lay my head down and go to sleep tonight. I can lay my head down and go into off into eternity tonight because it is well with my soul. He hath made me. I'm a redeemed one. I'm a regenerated one. I'm a resurrected one. I'm a forgiven one. I'm a brand new one. I'm his. And he's mine. And Jesus, he arbitrated every bit of that. There's now a daysman betwixt us. I was at the Vatican, pastor. Boy, I love this preacher right here. Y'all got one of the best. Got you out of hell, didn't it? You got one of the best. Oh, my. I was in the Vatican, preacher, carrying them boys to Albania. Been by Rome now 3 or 4 times. Let them boys see Paul's prison, go down into Paul's prison, go in that Colosseum. We went downstairs. We went underneath the Vatican. They got them dead popes. They got them in their main sanctuary or whatever you call that, the Vatican. And they got them downstairs. Pope John Paul XVII, don't quote me on that, research it, but I think he's one of the most popular. And I'm standing down there, preacher. I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. He's the faithful witness. There's one mediator between God and men. The man Christ is. 10,000, 20,000 go through there every day, and some days much more than that. Come through that Roman Catholic headquarters. Innocent and ignorant souls. But brother, they're going to die guilty in their sins if they don't go to the real Savior. They got them popes laid in them glass coffins. Some of them gray, some of them green. They got them laying there. It'd break your heart to see the people come in from all over the continents and the different countries of the world, bow down, and Pope John Paul XVII, a greater number gathered around his, and people on their knees praying and crying to him and throwing their little prayers over there to him. You can get arrested in the Vatican real quick now. It's its own sovereign nation. You can get arrested real quick and held. And they release you when they want to, if they want to. I was standing there looking at that, and all of a sudden I heard a voice speaking out. There's one mediator between God and men, and it ain't this man. It's the man, and it was me talking, Brother God. I mean, I'm always a talking, but I didn't even know I was. The man Christ Jesus. I couldn't help it. The word of God came out of my heart. Seeing them people pleading to a dead pope. Oh, I got news for you. The one I'm praying to, he's not dead. He's not in a basement. He's not in a coffin. He's alive. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Some of you shared some burdens with me last night. Standing around here fellowshipping. And I got news for you. We got one we can run to. You can, he's harmless. He ain't never going to hurt you. Hebrews 7 said he's harmless. I'd be afraid to tell you my sins. I'd be afraid to tell you my burdens. You might go hurt me with it. But he's harmless. You can take him children in there. You can take him prodigals in there. You can lay them in his lap. Thank God I've got one handling all my God business. You can carry your burdens, casting all your care upon him. I'm trying to get to the second point. He still got them overalls rolled up. That's why I can't get to it. You talk to him about that. That's a real beard, Hunter. Keep working on it, son. I think I seen an old Volkswagen in there and a small family moved in. Oh. No, you got Revelation 1:5 up there. And the first begotten of the dead. I want to say number two, he's handling all my graveyard business. I'm not afraid of death because he's done been down there. He's the first begotten of the dead. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Amen. The sting of death and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a handling all my graveyard business. If you've ever had to carry a child down there, he'll go with you because he's carried a child down to the grave. He had two of his sons die, preacher. The first Adam and the second Adam. I can't talk about these matters, but God can. Some of you can. If you've ever had to carry a child down to the grave, know this. He was there when Adam spiritually died. He was there when Adam physically died. He was there when the second Adam spiritually died. He is there when the second Adam physically died. He's carried youngins to the graveyard, and he came out the other side victorious with them too. Hallelujah to God! Thank God he's not just the God of the living. He's the God of the dead. He's handling all my graveyard business. Every Easter I preach the same sermon if I can think about it. If I ain't preaching on something else, I preach on the best news I ever heard came from the graveyard. Best news anybody had ever heard came from the graveyard. He is not here, but he's risen. I'll preach a 3-point sermon. Some of you decide you're really saved, you can start helping me, or I'll be throwing hardback hymnals at you shortly. Trying to hit you in the head with it. My 3-point message every Easter is, he's not here. Number two, he was here. He laid in that grave. He went down to hell. He was here. He's not here. And the third point, he's going to be here. When you get there, he'll be there. Hallelujah. He's a God who'll meet you at the graveyard. He's a God who's done been to the graveyard. He's a God who left out of the graveyard. Abraham only ever purchased one plot of ground after he left Ur of the Chaldees and went with God. He only owned one piece of ground, and that was the burial plot for Sarah. And he bought it from the old boy down there, Shechem maybe, don't quote me on it. Hittite, I don't know, go find that for yourself if you want to know. And he bought that cave and that field. And I do remember the name of the cave, Machpelah. Pretty sure that's not the Hebrew pronunciation, but pretty sure you don't know it either. Machpelah. And that means double, it means two sides. And the reason they named that cave a two-sided cave, because there wasn't just, I'm about to run. Y'all ready? We're going to let the men go. The reason they called that two sides, a double cave, because there was a way in the front of that cave where he carried Sarah in there. But then if he kept it going right on through that cave, there was a way out on the back side of that cave. I'm going to fire all of you for being too white. That's what I'm going to do. Let me try that again. There is a way out on the backside. And I got news for you, child of God. We're going in that ground one day, but we ain't staying there. There's a way out on the backside. Thank God. Abraham believed in the resurrection. That's what he had faith in. That's what he had faith in. That's what his faith was in. The father of the faith. He believed that if he put Isaac on that altar and actually killed him, that God was able and God was going to raise him from the dead. I got news for you, because he lives. I hadn't sung all night. I don't have red shoes or a red beard, but I ain't scared to sing. God sent his son. I love John 15. Because he lives, we can live. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. I'm glad he lives. Always like to sing when I preach. Hinkle Little was a singing and preaching when I got right with God. Ed Ballou used to stop and sing the unseen hand. There is an un. And so my heroes sang when they preach. I like to sing when I preach. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad we got something to sing about. Got something to sing about. The first song in your Bible. The first time you got the word song, sing, and sang. Them three words, first time, all in one verse. Exodus 15, 1. After he brought them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And when they came up on the other side of the Red Sea, Moses did sing that song and the children of Israel sang with him. Song, sing, sang, all in one verse. And the women said, Miriam said, y'all ain't leaving us out. And the women got tambourines. Timbrels, and they sang and danced before the Lord. And it wasn't the boot scooting boogie. That was completely free. If you listen to country music, that's why you're depressed. If you listen to rock music, that's why you're crazy. And so, amen. They did sing and song and sang. That was a holy dance before the Lord. My, my. And what was the singing about? Because it brought them out the other side. And then you go Exodus 15, 1, and you go all the way over to Revelation 15, 1. And in Revelation 15, 1, they're singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Amen. They something added over there in Revelation 50. And they're standing on that glassy sea on the other side. You reckon there's an ice canopy above that second heaven? The floor of the third heaven. They're standing on that glassy sea. It's a sea, it's water, it's glass, it's froze. Perfect time, perfect temperature over yonder. Them glorified bodies. Y'all ain't helping me. Where you think that water come from? There's a water issuing out of the throne. Where the Son of God, the water of life. And it's... Y'all ain't helping me. I believe in the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. And there's a glassy sea that you stand on the other side. One of these days, it's bringing me through to the other side. Two things I want to say. That 30-minute deal's definitely off the table. Why'd y'all ever come up with that to begin with? Todd, did you do that? Was that your fault? Oh, on Calvary. How many of y'all believe God's a Trinity? The Trinity. Man was made in his image. How many of y'all believe we're a triune being? We're a fold being body, soul, and spirit. I was having a tough week wrestling with devils, trying to preach a meeting a while back, staying in a little shack. They'll put you about anywhere, and that's okay with me. And the floor was that you drop a marble anywhere, and that marble was going to roll. Get up in the middle of the night and trying to go into the just having a hard time. But the Lord gave me a little reward that week, and He showed me something about Calvary. Studying behind some old men of God. Said when Jesus died, His spirit went to heaven, His soul went to hell, and His body laid in the ground. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's your innermost being. The soul wraps around the spirit. The soul's where you think your thoughts. The spirit's where God put His Holy Spirit thinks His thoughts. And He gave up the ghost. Find out the Holy Spirit's never referred to as the Holy Ghost till after the death and resurrection of Jesus. A spirit's one thing, but a ghost is the spirit of a risen dead man come back to haunt you. I'm about to run. Oh, I'm about to run. Spirit went to heaven. Then He said, my soul, thou shalt not leave in hell. And He went down and visited the nether parts of the underworld. His soul went to hell. And His body laid in the ground. You said, I didn't think that was possible. There's a whole lot of things you think's not possible. But with God, there's nothing impossible. What was He doing? All at one time. He went to heaven and saved me there. He secured me a spot there and made me a spot right there. Same time He went down to hell to get me off the boat. He carried me to the highest heaven and got me out of the lowest hell at the same moment. If you'd believe that, you'd have a happy bubble that wouldn't pop till Christmas. And then His body laid in this world where I have to live. So when I get there, I can see His footsteps. He's already been there. About to run. Because He saved me in every world there is. All at one moment in time, He gave me an eternal salvation. Thank God He carried me to the highest heaven. At the same moment, He got me out of the lowest hell. At the same moment, laid in that fearful grave. So when I got there, I know He done been there. Hallelujah to God. When I was a little boy, Daddy pastored in Tennessee. I was a teenage boy, actually. Down the road there, about a mile and a half, Sam and Della Young. He was an old-timey Baptist deacon, went to the Bonargies Baptist Church. Bonargies, that's the Sons of Thunder. You know you're ready for a fight when you go ahead and name your church. We're the Sons of Thunder Church. Ready to call fire down. At least they didn't lie about it. Went to the Bone Arches. Down by the Conasauga River. That just sounded like a good place to take care of business. He's an old-timey deacon. He had two big old, a team of oxen, a pair of oxen. And they won the state fair every year. The state fair. Big blue ribbon. They were so big and so pretty. And we'd go up there and she'd have them green beans hanging on a clothesline. Leather breeches. Any old timers here know anything about leather breeches? That's the only reason I do is Sister Young. And if y'all got any of them, and if you bring them to me tomorrow night, I will not be mad at you. Now, that's flat out asking right there for something. That's why you ain't got no green beans. You ain't asked. I'm asking. Don't bring none to him. Bring them to me. I'll give him whatever he needs. I'd go up there, and we'd visit Sam and Della Young. Well, he got sick, and he died about the first year we was there. And so we'd go up and visit Mrs. Young. I was 13. My little brothers were 9 and 7 and 3. We'd all go up there. She had one of them old-timey black, you got to help me, preacher, one of them ovens, black. Yeah, is that what it is? Right in the middle of the old living room, had a pipe going on up outside. She'd have cornbread, crackling cornbread on that. She'd have old-timey apple pie. Dear neighbor, I almost ran just then without even knowing it. I mean, it was old-timey. She'd be reading the Sunday, she'd be reading the funnies, the funny pages off the Sunday paper. The only TV I ever watched growing up was at her place, and we'd watch Bob Barker. The Price is Right. Come on down. That's where I learned to give an altar call, boys. Come on down. That's where I thought you're supposed to leap and shout.
Yeah.
I didn't have any sense. We were just youngins, had no screened-in back porch, and that's the way we'd go in. Sam hadn't been dead. Brother Sam hadn't been dead too many weeks. I was up there one day, mile and a half. We'd ride our little bikes down there. We'd bang on the door while we were coming in. That was old-timey too, wasn't it? And I'd banged on the door while I opened it, ducked under them leather breeches, green beans. And she was in the kitchen. She's standing there crying. Well, I was just a boy. I just went right in. I didn't have any sense. She's in there crying. And she had a little old, one of them little old cassette tape players and had a little tape. She put her arm around me, pulled me up close, and she's listening to Sam. It was her and her husband singing. And they were singing, "He'll Hold My Hand." She said, "Son, this is the last time that we ever sung in church together." And that's what we sang. I'm talking about he's handling all my graveyard business. He'll give you the comfort that he's going to take you through to the other side, and then he'll leave the ones left behind. He'll give them the comfort they need in their sorrow. She said he laid on the deathbed several days and never said anything. Said then right before he died, he sat up on both elbows. I'll never forget her telling me that. He sat up on both elbows and opened his eyes and looked around, looked up, and he began to sing that song. So I don't remember the words, but that ain't never stopped me. Someday when I've traveled my last mile, hear the call will be coming for me. She said that's what he rose up and sang that old song. And when he got done singing, said he laid back on that pillow and his last breath went out. God, he'll let the saints make their cross in a lot of different ways, but boy, that was a precious. I know he'll be there. Yes. He'll be there. He'll still the rough waters when by and by I'm crossing that river so wide, and he'll hold my hand as over death's river I go. I need somebody to sing the alto part. And then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven I know. My bark shall sail safely though the waves dash high, for Jesus will be at my side. He'll still the rough waters when by and by I'm crossing the river so wide, and he'll hold my hand as over this river, and then say, I'll be Help me, y'all. I want to see Mother and saints of yours. Jesus and in heaven the home, the soul, and he'll hold my hand as old. And then save my child in beautiful heaven. I'm glad I got one, the first begotten of the, he's the first one to get out of there by his own power. He's handling all my graveyard business. Give me my verse back. I don't know to close or to go on. I'm only halfway through, but it's feeling pretty heavenly in here. I'm just going to say them other two things and close. I may have preached the message out. And he's the prince of the kings of the earth. Can I say this before I close? He's handling all my government business. Some of y'all worried about Red China. Some of y'all worried about the Muslim, the terrorists. Some of y'all worried about the economy. Some of y'all worried about the current administration. I ain't worried about none of it. I'm a little worried about Hillary. That's the only thing I've heard to say that right there. Sorry about that. Oh, I got news for you. He's the prince. Brother Gunn, I had to think on this. At the beginning of Revelation, he's the prince. That's the son of the king. But at the end of Revelation, he's the capital K, King of Kings. I never had thunk that thought, Pastor. At Revelation, the first chapter, he's the prince. He's the king's son. And if y'all ain't helping me, I'll fire your hide and get me a soul choir is what I'll do. I said when Revelation's open, he's just the He's the king's son, but by the time it's done, he's the king of kings. See, when that thing opens up, he's still God's son sitting at the right hand of the Father. But when Revelation closes out, he's done got up off that throne, come back and took over, and he's God's sovereign. Y'all ain't helping me. Some of y'all worried to death about the economy. I got news for you. We ain't going to have revival till it does go under. Jesus trying to get you broke. Every American I know doing their best trying not to be broke, and Jesus is the one trying to break us. Love of money is the root of all evil. That's the only reason you worried about the government. You voting with your pocketbook. You worried about that. Get right with God. Give him your tithes, your offerings, and then just give him the rest, and you don't have to worry about it. There's a great old church song said the Wall Street fell and we was so poor we couldn't tell. Hold it, wait. That ain't a church song. But Todd, how come you know that song? You other boys pray for him. Todd knew exactly what I, before I even said it. He was over there singing. I saw it in his heart. My daddy said this, the poor growing up. And that's true. My grandmother was one of 13 and then they was raised back. My daddy didn't have a pair of shoes till he was 9 years old. And he earned them by mowing yard. It bartered for a little push mower. And then his old drunk daddy took his shoes and pawned them off for a bottle of whiskey. And he didn't have another shoes for another year or two. Daddy said they was so poor. Said somebody broke in one night and said everybody got up and tried to help them find something. Said they couldn't find a thing, and they told them where the neighbors lived about 3 miles down the holler. Try them. Somebody said it's so broke I can't even pay attention. He's handling all my government business. That spirit of fear you got, it ain't from God. Right now, how many of them briefcase nuclear bombs are in our country? I guarantee you half a dozen. There's sleeper cell terrorists everywhere. I got an issue. They're not going to be able to do anything until the Holy Ghost allows them to do whatever they're going to do. The kings of the earth conspired and set themselves against God. And I got news for you, honey. The Lord's on our side. It does not matter what man can do to us. That first century church had the Roman Empire against them. They didn't have no bylaws and didn't have no lawyers to come bail them out. They just went to jail and preached there, and then God broke them out and they preached on the street corner. Can I get a witness? That's been bugging me the last couple of years. All this stuff, we acting like we're secular, acting like we got a spirit of fear. Why don't we just rear back and have Holy Ghost church and let God be God? We'd see more miracles if we let God handle our problems instead of we handle them. He's taking care of every bit of this. And there's not a government going to work. America's not the kingdom of heaven. America's not the kingdom of heaven on earth. I thank God for this country. She has played a special place in the sovereign purposes of God in the end times. America's been a big sister to Israel. On the wings of the great eagles that's carried her. Amen. America's been a big sister to Israel. She's been the headquarters of the local church. She's been the printer and publisher of Bibles. She's been the sender of missionaries. But America's not the kingdom of heaven on earth. Somebody said, oh, I think America's going down. The church probably ain't going to raise up until the nation does go down. I know one who's running this whole thing. He's handling all my government business. I was checking out my bald spot. I had never seen it. My wife been telling me for a year. It's true. I just seen it. Gunn, you never mentioned that to me. What kind of friend are you? The last one, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I want to say this. He's handling all my grace business. I'm going to say it again before I fire all of you. He's handling all my grace business. He loved us. He washed us. Next verse. And made us. I like him three action verbs. He said, you think God could love me? Nope. He already did. It's not in question. It's not a precarious situation that might have a different turnout. He's not going to decide to love you. He already loves you. He studied you at your worst and then gave you his best. He didn't love you when you had on church clothes and you were clothed and seated in your right mind. He loved you when you were wild and crazy and cutting yourself and running through the tombstones. That's when he loved you. Some of you can't worship real good out of a heated, fervent spirit because you ain't never been too low. What you need to do is go back and let God show you where you could have been, what you could have been if he hadn't saved you. Let you study that. My daddy's daddy, he lived a drunk. He died a drunk. He had tuberculosis. Had a lot of things wrong with him. He was a bad drunk. He was a mean drunk. My daddy ain't never talked about it. I've had to learn from my uncle and my aunt. Dad was a firstborn son, and he ain't never talked about it. They told me the things went on. Let me tell y'all something. Drugs just ain't a problem in this country. Drinking's a problem. I needed a lot stronger amen than I just got. That bottle, it brings a curse. Every bit of immorality ever happened in that Bible happened when men were drunk. And your social drinking's right out of hell too. That's social drinking. I don't care if you're the CEO of the CEOs. And everybody's down there in the lobby and you've had to lead the little thing. Just tell them you're a Christian and you don't drink. Say, it might cost me my job. Well, it might gain you your Jesus. Who do you want to be your friend? Them or him? Them or him? Who do you want to be your friend? Them or him? Oh. My uncle told me, Uncle Johnny, he used to have to go down Rossville Boulevard in Chattanooga. It's a bad part of town. Find him. He'd be in some roach motel, puked up on himself, maggots done growed up out of it, crawling through his beard. Done been kicked around, beat up where somebody robbed him. My Uncle Johnny said more than once, had to pick him up out of one of them things with that kind of filth and that kind of, carry him out somewhere, clean him. Now, fast forward two generations, God saved my daddy in 1966. Now, I drive down Rossville Boulevard and there's five churches I preach. I preach at the Liberty Baptist Church, the Memorial Baptist Church, the Old Fort Baptist Church, Victory Baptist Church, and Temple Baptist Church, all up and down through Rossville Boulevard. You better believe when I drive down through there and look over at one of them motels. No, I'm just one generation removed.
Sure.
By the grace of God. He loved me. He washed me. He made me a king and a priest. That king, Brother Hunter, he made me a king that gives me authority on earth. He made me a priest that gives me access and authority in heaven. Hallelujah to God. He's a handling all my grace business. Whew. He said, my grace will be sufficient. He's going to take care of us. That grace is covenant business. Whenever God gives you grace, he comes in swearing covenant terms to you. Hallelujah. Handling all my grace business. Everybody stand. I want the pianist to come. I want us to sing Amazing Grace. I'm going to say this and see if y'all know how to act. I sure am glad that in the hours of the Antichrist and the apostasy and the apocalypse, I sure am glad I got a Savior. He's a handling. Amen. Stay right here with me. We may sing a duet just like this. See, Gunn, now I have another friend. He's handling all my God business. He's a handling all my graveyard business. He's a handling all my government business. He's going to feed us. He's going to clothe us. He's going to house us. He's a handling all my grace business. I tell you what, without any music, you just sit tight, sis. Me and the brother. Boy, he's got a pretty voice. We're going to just a cappella, slow. We're going to sing it right here.